Welcome. It's good to have each and every one of you here. If you don't know who I am, my name is Randy, and my wife and I have been worshiping full-time now here at the Ridge for not quite 3 years, almost three.
About 2.5.
Over three. My wife knows. I just kind of hang in there. Yeah. But I want to tell you a quick story before I get into this message about the one who speaks for us. Sandy and I, when we, about 8 years ago, were wanting to move up here full-time, we were still working down in the valley, and we were coming up here, and there's a church across the street from Prescott High School called Hillside Community Church. And I was contacted and asked if I could come and speak at that church for an ungiven amount of time until they could find a pastor. And without any hesitation, I said, yes, of course we will. We came up, and as we did, Sandy, with not much pushing from me, said to me, honey, let's retire up here. And we went through this process. And we decided to move up here, so we bought our home early on, but we were only coming up like once or twice a month. And we began to pray, Lord, if we're going to come up here, where do you want us to worship? And so, like many people, we began to pray and, Lord, where do you want it? And we thought a few things in our minds. Number one, we wanted to be in a church where there were children. We wanted to be in a church where there were young people. We wanted to be in a church where there were families. And we wanted to be in a church where there were singles. And we wanted, I can go on and on and on, but you all get the drift. And we had visited a few churches. None of them were bad because they were all lifting up Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. But we, our thoughts and our thinking were, okay, Lord, we want to be where you want us to be. And I'll never forget the day, and I've shared this with those of you that are part of this church, that Sunday we walked into that front door of the Ridge. Nobody told us about it. We'd just seen the sign. And we came in, and Tim over there greeted us at the door. And man, it was like, you know, a rush of mighty wind. And we came in, and I remember not that far off of coming here, the church put on a spaghetti dinner. And I never turned down spaghetti. But anyway, we came, and they were playing music. And for those of you on YouTube land, Pastor Will, our pastor, has this awesome daughter.
She's a cutie.
And the music was playing, and she walked up to her dad and said to him, let's dance.
Aww.
And before you know it, people were kind of dancing around here, and it was just one of those cool experiences that just spoke to our hearts that, Lord, we want to be where you want us to be. So we began to come, and we began to fellowship. And God just has blessed our lives in the ministry. And Natalia, you know, this is a few years afterwards, but I can't even remember where I was, but the phone rings, and it's Natalia. Randy, can we buy some backpacks and fill them up and go hand them out to, well, she wanted to talk, so we met, but to hand them out to the needy people. So we got together. How many backpacks did we end up handing out that day? Probably 36 to 40 backpacks. And all the kids got together. Connor drove. I'm trying to think of everybody who was driving that. I drove, you drove. But anyway, we're driving all around and looking for people that just looked like they needed a touch. And I thought, wow, what a blessing. But the reason I'm speaking these things right now to you wasn't a part of my message, because this is really what I wanted to say. We have really gone through some things with this whole COVID thing, you know, churches. Who would have ever thought, especially those of us who are, say, 45 years and older. I'm just going to say that age. But who would have ever thought we would have ever seen this ever happen in our lifetime? And what I mean by that is that churches were told not to meet. Now, if you know that passage of scripture out of Hebrews, do not fail to meet together as become the habit of some, but encourage one another and spur one another on to love and good deeds. It is really, really important for believers to connect. And this is nothing against YouTube. I mean, I praise the Lord that we have the opportunity. You know, TV Land did it with these televangelists. But what it created is it created a generation of believers who felt that they could worship and fellowship at home without having to fellowship one-on-one with other people. And today, what has been created is a large, large group. I'm just going to stick my finger out there and say probably millions across the United States of America who believe in God. If you ask them, do you believe in God? Yes. Where do you fellowship? Well, I don't go to church. I don't need to. I can do it in the privacy of my own home. And I think about the fact that Paul and Barnabas and Peter and all of the disciples, one of the things that they felt was so important in getting the word out was that as they got the word out and believers began to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would come together and meet, that they would meet together, and that the church was born and Christians were called for the first time in Antioch, and the church was born. And from there, throughout ages, here we are. And what I've discovered as an individual, by the way, I didn't grow up in the church. You need to know that if you don't already know it. I became a Christian on May 7th, 1971, at the age of 19. And it was during that whole Jesus movement that was going on, especially around the world, but especially I grew up in Sacramento area, but San Francisco. But my point being is that something really transformed me in my life from where I was to what I am today. And what I've noticed, especially with everything going on, many of you have walked into the doors of this fellowship, the Ridge, within the last, you know, 6 months or less, and you're praying, Lord, is this where you want us? And one of the things I want you to realize, if you haven't already realized it, is this, that feeling of this is where God wants you comes when you understand and comprehend that and begin to feel that you're part of a family. Josh, Big Josh, who gave the announcements this morning, he and I were talking kind of right over where Gary's sitting right now back there. We were talking, he said, you know, Randy, this just came out of Big Josh's head. He goes, you know what, Randy? He said, I am so blessed by the individuals who are starting to get involved in the life of the church. And then he pointed out this young bass player right here. And then we got to talking about Josh and Jackie starting, you know, Thursday mornings, right, Josh? Getting into a men's and women's group that's meeting together here at the church into the Word. And how Josh and Jackie just pour out their lives, and Jackie feeling led that once a month, even if just a few people show up on Sunday evenings, to come and just spend quiet time in meditation and thinking about the blessings of God. And then I think of the different Bible studies. Linda's starting one this Wednesday, right? Linda, I want to make sure I get that right. Girls, ladies, if you need to see Linda, if you're interested. And then we have Tim and Jamie on Monday nights. And even since I had that first invitation when you invited Sandy and I, look at how many people are now coming. And, you know, and then Ron and Twyla, there's Twyla. But anyway, there's just different people. And then something happened to me this morning, and I want to ask you a question, then I'm going to stop and I'll get into the word that God has laid upon my heart. Here it is. An individual came up to me this morning, and elders, we've talked about this, especially when Willow was on sabbatical. How many of you would like to see this ministry serving communion? Raise your hand if you would. How many of you would like to see this church make that a part of our ministry to serve communion? I know the elders have talked about it, and we said, yes, we would. And I see a lot of people raising their hands all across. I don't even want to say once a month. I'd like to do it more than once a month. Because for me personally, it just draws me to a relationship with Jesus Christ. To think about the fact that on that last night that he spent with his disciples, he broke bread with them and shared the wine, and how important that was to develop a oneness in Jesus Christ. So I, for one, and even if I need to get here early in the morning, and if anybody here wants to be a part of that, come see me after church today. We'll work something out. We'll get this thing set up that we can begin to do this. Pastor Will, I know, would be very excited. We cannot ask Pastor Will to do all things, can we? That's not fair to him and not fair to his family. But anyway, if you're new to our church, and you're looking even for a little way to get involved, that would be awesome. But talk to us. We have awesome things going on in the life of our church. Our church, seriously, if everybody came, we have a lot of people online because of COVID. Our church is probably almost twice the size now, if everybody were to come at one time. And we're not a church that walks up to people and say, hey, you want to be a member of our church, you got to do this, 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 and this. All we want is Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, that he is number one, that he is guiding and directing you. And that's where it's all about. And that's where I come in today. And I want to share with you the one who speaks for us. Pastor Will is an absolutely incredible pastor to lead us on Sunday mornings. Would you agree with that? I mean, I walk out of here just going, oh my, that's incredible. And then Josh White gets up with that booming voice and his recollection of movies and all the things that come to his mind. The guy's got this incredible mind. But how we are blessed when he speaks. And then there's me. I'll never forget the first time as a Christian. I'd been a Christian for maybe 2 months, and getting up and speaking in front of a church and not knowing anything to say except that I love Jesus. And I still love him today, and I'm just as nervous today as I was the first time I ever spoke in front of individuals, because it is God who speaks through me. And that's what I want more than anything else. So the one who speaks for us is the message today. And I want to follow after Pastor Will. If you want to follow in your Bibles or you're taking notes, that's great either way. But I want to start with, and we're not working. So I'll just ask Linda if you would. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And these words are the words of John. And I love it because John was probably the youngest of all the disciples with Jesus. Okay? He's the little kid. He's the teenager. Some say he was as young as 14. And now we see him in his older years saying this, "My little children." For so many years, probably those disciples kidded him and say, "Hey, John, you're just a little kid, man. You're a child." And now he's saying to us, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is our propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Now, you can look at that passage of Scripture and say, "Hey, I get it. You know, we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God." But get this. As Christians, we still stumble. And we still fall. For example, how many of you guys have ever played football? Raise your hand if you've ever, even if it's touch football. Girls, if you played, raise your hand too. Okay, let me ask you a question. You're out there on the grass, you're just a pickup game, football game, and you say, "Okay, Mike, you be the quarterback, okay?" And the quarterback says, "You go out and go left, and you go out and you go right, and you're playing football, and you go out and you're running, and this is my left hand, but you turn and go right." Or if you, he said, "Go right, you go left." In life, sometimes we go in different directions from what we've been asked to go. And we don't necessarily mean it. It just happens so fast that we go, "Oh, man, I went the wrong way." And we get back in the huddle, and the first thing our quarterback who assigned us says, "Man, I told you to go left. You went right." And the ball went left, but nobody was there to catch it. "Oh, man, hey, I won't do that again. I promise I won't do it." And sure enough, in that same game, it happens again. Or if it doesn't happen in that game, it happens in another game. A lot of times, we'll be on the road, and before they had Google Maps, my wife was my navigator. She still is. "Honey, turn right on the street." And I turn left. "Honey, do you know your right from your left?" "Sure, this is my left. This is my..." You guys, I was just teaching math last week at Bradshaw Middle School. And we're trying to figure out if a particular graph is a plot on a graph is a rise that is positive or a negative graph. And so what I did is I showed the kids all these graphs and the arrows, these lines. You remember what a line is with two arrows, you know, line. If it's pointing to the right hand, it's a positive line. If the top line is pointing to the left hand, it's a negative. It's falling. So I'm teaching these kids these different things. Now I'm walking around the room and I'm, okay, did, you know, and always there's those that struggle. They just don't get it. In life, we sometimes fail, but this we know, and John says, "My little children, know that you have somebody speaking on your behalf, so when you mess up, he's there for you." So, I wanted to share this. Whoop, we'll go to the next slide. The purpose of God's word in relation to our own lives is to give us direction. Now, I could have picked out tons of different scripture, but in this particular case, I said, "Lord, help me to understand that. Let's keep it simple." My father told me when I was a kid, "Keep it simple, stupid." Did anybody ever hear that before? Yeah, okay. All right, so we grew up that. So in John chapter 20, verse 31, it says these words, "But these things are written for us so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." This is a purpose and a direction that God wants all of us to know and to realize that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in him, you have life. Now, don't forget, In 1 John chapter 2, 1 and 2, John is saying, guys, if you say you're without sin, you're messed up. We all mess up. But know this through the direction of God's word that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's go to the next passage. His word gives us hope. Not only does it give us direction, but it gives us hope. In Romans 15:4, we have these words. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Here's what I want to share with you before I really get into that first verse and second verse out of 1 John chapter 2. Number one, God's word gives us direction. And number two, God's word gives us hope. And our hope is found in his word. So I want to encourage all of you, which many of you do already, but I want to encourage you, young and old alike, do not fail to get into God's word. Upstairs with the young children right now, think back if you grew up in Sunday school. I didn't, but I've been around Sunday school long enough to know that most children in Sunday school, in getting into scripture, are taught through the things that Jesus did in his life or events in the Old Testament, like Jonah or Noah, okay, or David and Goliath. Or how about the seed, where it falls on the hard soil or the good soil? Or, and our children are taught these things. But as in Corinthians chapter 13, we no longer think like children, we are becoming adults. And so we want to get into his word to know the deep, deep thinking of God, our Father, Jesus Christ. And as Will so aptly shared with us, it is by God's Spirit who guides us and directs us, even in the reading of his word. So now I want to share, we'll go to the next slide. We're going to go and we're going to take a look at 1 John 2:1. Here again. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Who knows us better than anybody but Jesus himself? And so when we look at this passage of scripture, we know we're going to mess up once in a while. Go to the next slide. I want us to think about this whole idea of temptation versus sin, because this is really important. Out of 1 Corinthians 10:13, many of you probably even memorized this. No temptation has seized you but what, this is how I memorize it. No temptation has seized you but what is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, your ability. But with that temptation, he will also provide a way out for escape, that you might be able to endure it. And what that is saying to all of us is, as this whole idea of temptation versus sin, we know that there are times we are tempted in life. And those of us who grew up with Playboy magazine, who hid them under our mattress thinking our parents would never find them, those of us who grew up that, think about what our children grow up with today on the internet. And you know, I'm in the classroom with these kids, and I'm going to tell you this. I know you. Some of you are going to go, oh, come on, Irwin, no, things are different. Kids are kids. They're kids.
And they're true.
Yeah, but my point being is they know in their heart of hearts when you talk to them, that it's not reality. It's not real. They know that. But the lust of the eyes is so prevalent, and it just wraps around them. And I know, as one who has fought through this too, we all have, I'm not talking just about sexual things, but even, you know, the pride of life, or, you know, boy, I wish I had a car like that. And, or if I can't have it, he ought not to be able to have it. We are growing up in a society today where we're being told that if you have a lot of things, you ought to share it with those that don't have it. When many of us were taught, listen, I know my father was this, son, whatever you do it the best. Do you understand? He made me look him right in the eye. You know, we were taught that if you're gonna pull weeds, make sure you get them all. If you're gonna borrow somebody's shovel, make sure that when you take it back, all the mud's cleaned off of it and it's as clean as when you borrowed it or better. We were taught that if you had to borrow something twice, you need to go out and buy it. We were taught, yeah, I mean, we need to reteach these awesome things. But the point being is, our Lord and Savior is saying to us, look, when you're tempted, I get it. And some of you will fall to that temptation, but I am there for you. No temptation has seized you, but what is common to all of us. Go back to the previous slide for me. My little child, I'm writing these things that you may not sin, but if anyone does, let him know that there is an advocate there, Jesus Christ. Okay, go back to the 1 Corinthians 10:13. Ladies and gentlemen, look, I'm not as eloquent as Will or as boastful and incredibly intelligent as Josh, but I am so, when it comes to spiritual things, I'm just so simple-minded because I didn't grow up in the life of the church. My wife had to tell me about youth camp. She had to tell me about the choir that she was in and how they would go to the jails and the prisons to sing. And, you know, all the things that go on. I'm going, people do that? I never was a part of that, you know? And youth camps and junior camps and all the things, you know, that they had. All I know is that Jesus Christ took me out of a life of sin and changed my life. Let's look at the next passage. Thinking still about 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, we have Isaiah 53, 12. I chose this one because, to be honest with you, as a new Christian, when I read this passage of Scripture, it blew me out of the water. That somebody who lived around 600 B.C., could be speaking about Jesus Christ 600 years later. Because he, the Messiah, poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore our sin of many and makes intercession. Remember, if we sin, who intercedes for us? Intercession for the transgressors. Think through the eyes of a person who reads that and has that whoa moment. Oh. It's kind of like that passage of Scripture where God is talking to Abram and he's going to change his name to Abraham. And he says, your seed will be as vast as the stars in heaven and the grains of sand on the earth. Have you ever just picked up a handful of sand? Mm-hmm. I challenge you just to count the grains of sand in the palm of your hand. And tell me that there wasn't somebody speaking those words that knew the truth of creation that now we know through the Hubble telescope and other things about the incredibleness of God's creation. And that God has given us, known as the Messiah, Jesus Christ, he is our intercessor when we screw up. Oh, how that affected my life. How it changed me. How it just transformed me. So much to the point that not knowing, I haven't even owned a Bible yet. I'm just hearing these things. I haven't even taken a Bible class. It's just overwhelming to me. And then we're going to go back to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, if we'll get that. It is he, John writing, he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, there's all these exercises you can do to lower your blood pressure. But mine rises when I think that my Lord is out there for the whole world to see. Everybody, billions of people. Now, remember this, because I found this one day when I was reading scripture. Wide and crooked is the road that leads to destruction, but straight and narrow the road that leads to righteousness. Now, how did I take that? This is how I took it. Now I want to serve God. Whatever I do in my life, I want to serve him. But this is what hit me. My Lord, who is out there wanting to take away the sins of the whole world, he doesn't give up, even though he knows the road that leads to righteousness is straight and narrow. I challenge you, I want you to do this. I have to confess, Sandy, I already watched, I was too curious. I was on YouTube the other day, and the first book I ever read as a Christian was Pilgrim's Progress. And about 9 months ago, a movie was made. It's an hour and 44 minutes long. You can watch it free on YouTube. It's called Pilgrim's Progress, Heaven's Journey. Pilgrim's Progress, Heaven's Journey. If you've never read the book, watch the movie. Wow, is that my life or what? But now there is a Lord and a Savior for the whole world. Is it easy to get off the straight and narrow path? Oh man, how easy it is. But you got to watch the movie. But the weapons, the things that Christian is given to help him get back on the road when he gets off is incredible. Pilgrim's Progress, Heaven's Journey. Watch it with your kids if you can. Jesus Christ is the propitiation of our sins. And not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's look at the next passage of Scripture. There is victory in defeat. There is victory in defeat. I tell kids, and you all know this, if somebody's starting their own business, right, Tim? If they're starting their own business and they fail, which usually happens to most people, don't let that be a reason not to try again. Most people who own their own businesses, and I'm thinking of you right now, that coffee shop I wanted to go, I'm going to be the first. I'm there. When you see it, it's just, Lord, a risk, but a risk worth taking, even though there might be failures along the way. In this is love. 1 John 4:10, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is victory in defeat. No matter how many times we fail, he never leaves us, nor does he ever forsake us. Don't raise your hand. Don't respond, but have you, in your mind, have you ever seen a broken person? I have. And it breaks my heart. And I ask myself the question, how can I be a part of them to be unbroken? And every time I think about that, if I go to speak with them, if I go to make a phone call or whatever, I pray, Lord, let them hear your words, not mine. There is victory in defeat. Look at this next scripture. In Revelation 1, it's 5 and 6, but it's the latter part of verse 5. But this is what it says. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Get that? He's freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to close by saying this. One of the greatest things in any Christian life is the opportunity, and Natalia, I speak right to you now because I wanted you that, when you talked to me that day, you know, I went home and prayed and I said, Lord, let Natalia see victory in this. When you begin to see victory in the lives of other people, it transforms you. It changes you. The way it changed me is the first time it ever happened, and it wasn't me. God gives an opportunity to share, and you leave the results of God, because the Spirit of God speaks to the hearts of men and it changes them. But when you see God using you, going to California after the fire, starting this ministry of the coffee shop, over and over, all the things that transform us in life. When we see victories, it transforms us personally. Think about it for a second. As adults, no longer children, what brings you great joy? Think about when you had children, if you had children, on Christmas Day, giving gifts to your kids and watching their eyes and watching their eyes light up. We have that opportunity only for a few short years. Our two grandsons, Sandy and I remember when they were little, you know, and now the youngest is 12. The youngest is Christmas, even though it's still exciting, doesn't have that same that it had when they were 7 or 8. You know, it goes by so fast. But this never fades. What never fades is that the ability for us to give to others and see the joy on their faces and how that affects us. When I think of Ross and the worship team, you guys see them on Sunday mornings, and there's different groups of people up here singing, aren't there? If you've been here long enough, you know that there's different individuals up here. When you do something over and over and over and over again, the desire to do something different always prevails. Like, for example, if you buy a car, brand new car, smells new, you know. But after you've had that car for, say, 10 years, what do you want?
Another one.
The newness is worn away, there's dents, there, you know, the paint has faded, you know. That's normal to life. Think about Pastor Will. Pastor, if you're watching this, think about Ross. Think about the team that comes and worships. Think about the cares group. Think about Josh and Laura, our church secretary. Think about Linda and all the years that she ministered as our church. People, Tim, and all the people who minister in the life of our church. When you do it week after week after week after week after week after week, do you get weary? So what's the changing key? It's the Spirit of God who changes us to see that every Sunday we come and we worship together, it's a new day, a new dawning, a new life. I never know who's going to walk through the doors of our church that I get to go up and say, man, it's really great to have you here today. I get off on that because it's just a great feeling. I'm sitting over there with my wife and we're singing, and there's a group over here that just inspires me when they raise their hands to worship and praise Him. I notice that, and it so blesses me. And it just drives me to want to come back next Sunday and just worship with all of you again. And just so you know, in closing, because our soul, as a matter of fact, the worship team can come up. I just want to say this in closing. Sandy and I, we were on the mission field for 7 years, and we were pastoring, we were doing different things. The largest church we ever pastored was a church of, what, about 350? 350? And, I mean, it was great. You know, you walk in, you see 350 people. We are a people who want to associate ourselves with success. And sometimes our success drives us to want to worship in these large churches, which I am so thankful that they are there. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But you know what? My Lord and Savior tells me wherever two or more are gathered in His name, He is in the midst. It doesn't make any difference when it comes to numbers. God loves us all. He desires for all of us to experience the joy of the forgiveness of His sins. And you gotta love John, that little teenager walking around with all those older guys following Jesus, growing up to be the last of the living disciples to say to us, my little children, we are His children, always will be, no matter how old we are. And I so rejoice in the day of His returning. Be it that I'm here to experience it, or that I should pass away and be lifted up into His glory. I love Him, I love Him, I love Him. And I love all of you. Though some of you I know better than others, I love you all because we are all children of God. Father, thank you, Jesus, for just the transforming of our lives, speaking on our behalf when we mess up, when we should be going left and we go right, or we go right and we go left, always there. Lord, I just pray right now for all of us in this sanctuary today, that Father, in our hearts, we would all just whisper, thank you, Jesus. Nobody's better than anybody else. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all been tempted, but no temptation has seized us but what is common to man. But you have given us the strength to stand up under it. Lord, thank you. Help us to be the people that you desire us to be, seeing in your word the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.